up the rolling hills is just really, really grueling for me. I've never been a fan of hills. And then right around mile 18, one of the photographers out in the course taking the pictures yelling at me, "Hey, you got a chance to catch the guy in second place. He's only 90 seconds ahead of you. You can catch those kids." Like, oh boy, I've been trying to catch these kids this whole race. But yeah, I was like, wow, it's hard to believe that they were only 90 seconds ahead of me, because I really couldn't see anybody at that point. And then one of the members from my team that was out there cheering me on ran out there, ran next to me, was cheering me. He goes, "Come on, man, we got this. Let's go, let's go, let's go." And he helped bring me from seventh to second at that point. And we had a big cheer section at mile 20, and they were all just cheering and just got my blood pumping, and adrenaline was going, and they were able to try and bring it on home. But it was hard, because at that point, I'm running all alone. You know, I'm on the bike path and I'm going, and there's really no one around. And it's so hard to push yourself when you're out there by yourself. And I figured that after going by them at mile 20, there was no way they were just going to let me just go without a fight. I remember coming through the last half a mile or so, and everybody's cheering, and you're going, it's like, just don't cramp up. Just don't cramp up at the finish line. And then when I saw 2:38 on the clock, I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna do it. I'm going to go under 2:40. And it was such an amazing feeling to cross that line. And I shed a few tears of joy. And yes, it was a great, great feeling to do that.
I got to tell you, that story chokes me up every time I listen to it. I was doing some edits. I was going to voice the story myself, as I usually do. I was like, there's no way I can do a better job than Rick doing it himself. So I hope you enjoyed that. Gives me shivers, gives me tears, and that's just the beginning of this interview. So I hope you enjoy the rest of what we have to offer in this interview. This is Drew, and you're listening to the Transformations Through Running podcast. I love this interview. I love Rick. And I got to tell you, this is much different than my other show, Exploring Mind and Body, which you can find on other podcasting platforms. But I got to tell you, I get to meet these guests in person. Many of them I have met, I've run with, I've hugged, I've shaken hands. And I got to tell you, Rick's one of those genuine people that he's just a good person. You know from the first words that come out of his mouth, what he's talking about is the truth. And throughout this entire interview, he's going to talk about some of the struggles he's gone through, how he trains, how he's gotten better, who he's working with. And I think there's so many takeaways from this interview. I hope you enjoy. I do want to tell you about our monthly membership before we jump into it. This is where we put together weekly meal plans, recipes, grocery shopping lists. We do at-home workouts, so bodyweight workouts that can help complement your running. And we also have a private team that helps support every step of the way. So if you're looking for a supportive group online community based around nutrition and fitness and lifestyle, a couple things that we specialize in is a natural increase of energy and improved digestion as well. So if you're looking for a little bit of help in this regard, we can definitely help you out. It's always great to pair up nutrition with running or athletics in general. And it's always great to supplement your running with some workouts as well. Some at-home workouts, full body functional exercises that can definitely make a difference in your overall running game. If you're interested in more details, head over to trueformlife.com for more details. All right, welcome to another edition of Transformations Through Running. We have Rick here with us today. Super excited to have him on the line. Welcome to the show, Rick.
Oh, thank you, Drew. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. Now, Rick, I would love to hear more about yourself before we get into some questions here. Can you take a minute to tell us who you are and what you do?
Yeah, sure, definitely. I was born and raised here in the South Bay. I live in Carson. I started running my sophomore year in high school. I ran cross country and track all 3 years. From there, I did a year and a half at El Camino College. Then I landed a job as a longshoreman working in the port of the Los Angeles and Long Beach harbors. I've been working down there now for the past 24 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it is. Time goes by, but, you know, I enjoy it.
I suppose that's all that matters.
Yeah, you know, as the years go on, you get more seniority, you get better jobs. So now I'm a crane operator. I've been doing that for the past 13 years now.
Wow. Okay. That's awesome. And what is it that you enjoy about it? Is it always something new, or is it the like getting the job done?
Yeah, it's a challenge. You know, basically, your average ship gets about 5 gangs, so you're kind of like loading, unloading the container ships that come into the harbor. So it's kind of like you're racing the person next to you. It's like an oversized video game, so to speak. And yeah, you just kind of take pride in your work and how many moves you can do per hour, and in the process of getting the job done.
Okay, so how come you started running when you're in high school?
Honestly, I started running in high school because I was too small to play football. I tried out for basketball, and I wasn't the greatest at that either. I'm a big baseball fan, but baseball didn't start till spring. So my biology teacher was the cross-country coach and kind of talked me into it, so I gave it a shot.
And what'd you think when you first started?
Man, it's a lot of running.
I guess that's pretty much all you do.
Yeah, you know, I remember as a kid growing up, my mom would always go to Harvard College. She'd take me with her. She'd run around the track with her friend, trying to get me to run, and I'd do a lap or two, and I was like, man, this is not for me, you know? So I never saw myself to be a runner to begin with. So I was like, too small to do anything else. So I'll give running a try.
And at what point did you start to enjoy it? Or I'd imagine you do enjoy it. Otherwise, you wouldn't still be doing it.
You know, I think each week you see your time get faster and faster. And it was like, okay, I wonder how fast can I really get? And it's just being able to see yourself succeed and get faster each week is kind of keeps you coming back and wanting to train harder to see how good you really can get, so to speak.
Is that your motivation, or is that your drive to continue to get better?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I'm very, very competitive. So, yeah, I always try to outdo myself from the last race. So, yes. My ultimate goal.
Do you feel like you're competing against other runners out there, or is it really just within yourself?
Now, pretty much within other runners as well as myself. You know, it's you kind of use the adrenaline of racing against other people to try to excel and reach your own personal goals within yourself. Being that at age 45 now, it's you know, it's getting harder and harder to keep up with some of these younger kids, but I just use that as motivation to try and hang on with them and let them know that us old guys can run too, you know?
I think a lot of people would not call 45 old. So when you're out there running, what is it that you enjoy? Is it the competition? Is it the time that you're running against? What is it that you're passionate about when you hit that racetrack or hit that open road?
Oh, it's all about just getting faster for me. It's you work so hard to hit certain paces and to be able to see yourself hitting them mile 5, mile 10, mile 15, as you're pressing on towards that marathon, 26.2 miles. It's just so exciting to see yourself reaching those times, and it just kind of draws you closer to want to push those final 5 to 6 miles to the finish.
What is the most challenging part about the runs for you?
I'd say not getting out too fast and trying to hang on in the end. Sometimes you get caught up with the crowd and sometimes other competition and you find yourself running faster than you should have been running, as far as faster than what you've been training for, and running out of gas towards the end.
I think that's everyone. That's a great point. We haven't had someone bring that up, but I think that's probably remains true for just about everyone, because you get all excited and the crowd is kind of getting you pumped up at the beginning, and you just want to go and sprint and ahead of the track, and then you know halfway through you're like, "Oops, that was a mistake."
Exactly. It's like, hey, look at me, I'm not in front. And then it's like, okay, towards the end, it's like, that wasn't a very good idea.
So tell me about, I understand you took a bit of a break. So walk us through how that worked for you. You started running, then you took some time off, and you're back at it now?
Yeah. I right after El Camino, I had a full-time job. I got into working, was fortunate enough to get as much overtime as I wanted. So I figured, well, I'm going to work all I can work, and I'm going to buy me a house and eventually have a family. And that's exactly what I did. I was 5 when I bought my first house, and I got married in 06, had kids, was married for 9 years, 5 months, then got a divorce, and then basically I just decided to take up running again. You know, it's just... go back to my roots. I ran as a kid, and I'm going to run now that I'm older.
Did you miss it at any point in time when you had that break?
No, not too much. I mean, I did miss it in the beginning, but like I said, as you got into working and making money and your eyes get big, and it's just kind of like it wasn't too hard to slowly put it on the back burner.
So what was the deciding factor for you to go back at it? I think a lot of times people think about going back to a sport or to an activity that they used to do, but they never really take that leap. What was it for you that was like, I'm going to go give this a try?
About 2 years prior to my divorce, I started doing the Bridge Run, which is on Labor Day, a local race. And I've done that the past 2 years prior to that, and I only trained 2 weeks for it and did okay. And then I was like, I'm starting to get the itch again. So when my divorce happened, it was a no-brainer. I was all in, just gonna start running, gonna start training.
Just made an easy decision for you.
Oh yeah, it was hands down a no-brainer.
So when you started running again, how many days a week did you begin with? Were you trying to run 6-7 days a week, or did you kind of ease into it?
No, I was probably running maybe about 5 days a week, about 30 to 35 miles a week. At the time, I thought that was like very awesome. That was like good. Run, I realized that wasn't very much at all.
Yeah. So, well, how much are you running now?
I've got to my best is 121 miles in 1 week. Wow. So I've come a long, long ways from those 32 miles a week.
So, okay, walk us through your schedule. What does it look like for you? When do you begin? Do you have an off day?
No off day. Off 7 days a week.
Okay. We'll start with us. How about a Monday? Monday to Sunday, what does that look like for you?
Monday, try and get maybe 2, sometimes 3 runs in. And then Tuesday, or Wednesday, depending on how my schedule works and how I'm feeling, I try and get like a speed workout in, maybe like a 4 or 5 mile tempo run, you know, along with your warm ups and your cool downs. And then basically the rest of the week is just logging as many miles as I possibly can. Sometimes I'm running before work.
Okay, so you don't have, like, so many miles on Wednesday, so many miles on Thursday. You just go out and run as long as you can?
That's it. I just put as many as I can. Slow, easy miles, nothing to really wear down the body. It's just building endurance.
So when you said Monday you try to do 2 or 3 runs, are you talking about you're running 2 or 3 times a day?
Correct, yes. So sometimes I'll try and do 3 10s. 3 7s. It just depends, but the whole idea is to try to get as many miles as you can.
So why on Monday do you do that?
Monday is the start of your week, and I try to get like a good jump start to try and reach 100 miles. So usually it's kind of motivating, if you can get a big day in on Monday, then it really sets up the rest of the week.
Okay, awesome. So now I know you did pretty well at one of your recent runs. Tell us about, what is it called, Peaks to, or Mountains to Beach? Is that what it's called?
Yes, Mountains to Beach, yes. That was quite a run there. I had a little friendly competition with one of my fellow runners, and I had ran 2:42:18 at California International Marathon. And then my friend Charles came back and ran a 2:42:17, beating that by 1 second at the LA Marathon. Yes.
How did that feel? So
I was like, it hurt. I wish he would, in a way, would have just beat it by like a minute or two, because 1 second, it was just like, it stings, you know? But I was happy for him. And then, so I decided I'm going to have to train really hard for Mountains to Beach to come back and top that time. So that's basically my training all went towards that. And yeah, I ran a 2:38:57, which was something I didn't think was possible.
Wow,
but
awesome.
It happened.
So what, is there anything in particular that made that happen, or was it just the motivation, the friendly competition going back and forth that inspired that?
Well, I've been training under Shane. Shane Emmons has been working with me on doing more miles and doing my workouts and stuff like that. So he's an Olympic trials qualifier. So I figure I trust his judgment as far as training goes and to prepare me to beat that time. And together we accomplished that.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's got to be exciting for both of you.
Oh, yes, most definitely. You know, I just never in my wildest dreams did I ever think I was going to run under 2:40. But he believed that I could, and so that was enough for me to go out there and give it a shot.
So what kind of training, how is your training different from working with Shane than what you would do on your own?
On my own, there really wasn't much any tempo runs. I was just mostly just doing maybe a threshold run, you know, once a week if I could get it in. Shane had me doing, like, long runs and incorporating your mile race pace into some of those long runs as well. And I never dreamed of doing that. It's pretty killer workout.
Or how is your runs different from working with Shane than doing it your own thing?
Shane had me doing a lot more tempo runs, sometimes two tempo runs in a day. And then every other weekend on the long run, he'd have me do like a 15-mile run and maybe like a 5-mile race pace, marathon race pace run at the end of the 15 to try to get you to run race pace late into a race without totally wearing yourself down. So those are things that I've never thought of even attempting to do, but it obviously paid off.
Don't regret doing that.
I'm sorry?
I said you don't regret taking that route.
No regrets at all, no. It was a killer, you know, on the body, but it was well worth it.
And tell me about any type of other training. Do you do any type of strength training, or is running pretty much what you stick to?
Yeah, no, I don't do any kind of strength training at all. Basically, running is it. I'm not much of weights, bike riding, swimming, or none of that, really.
And what does recovery look like for you? Do you do any type of rolling, stretching? Do you have a recovery? I know it doesn't sound like you have an off day, but do you have a recovery day, or what does that look like for you?
I do have a roller, which I don't really use that much. But I have stretching is something I should be doing as well, but I don't do that very often either unless something hurts. It's a little reminder, hey, you got to stretch. But I do have a Theragun, which I do love. It's a tool, I guess, you use to help break up some of the knots that you get in your legs and your muscles from all the stress of running and stuff. it helps with circulation, and it does help with the pain, even though I don't stretch as much as I should.
How often do you use that?
Whenever it hurts.
Okay. And then, so it, how about nutrition? Nutrition always interests me with runners. or lack thereof. Do you do anything specifically with the foods that you consume, or do you just eat whatever you feel like?
For me, yeah, nutrition is now. I just kind of eat whatever. I just have a thing like before a big race, I'll have pasta. But aside from that, there's no specific diet. I eat fast food, not fast food, home cooked. I mean, I do it all. There's no specific diet for me.
You're just a phenom. You do so well at these races, and doesn't matter. You don't need to stretch, and you don't need to eat. You're a machine,
yeah.
Rick.
I try to be, but like I said, the only time I remember to stretch or do anything that for recovery is when something hurts. For the most part, I just get amped up and want to go, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Do you think that if you did some more stretching or if you looked at nutrition, that would make you a better runner? Or do you feel like you're kind of where you're at running-wise, regardless of other circumstances or situations?
As far as nutrition goes, probably not. I'm pretty confident I would still be the same. I could do a little better with the stretching, which I think would really help with my hips not locking as much, especially late in a lot of the races. You know, right around 18, 19, 20, you start to feel like your stride shortening because your hips are really, like, tight and it's hard to open up your stride. Mm-hmm. So a shorter stride, you know, goes to a slower pace.
Okay, so are you actually trying to stride? Is that a thing for running, or is that what you're taught to stride, like longer stride? Is that better than shorter strides?
For me, yeah. I like the long stride. I can cover more ground, so to speak. I'm just comfortable with that long stride. That's been me since high school.
Yeah, works best for you?
Yes.
So, all right, I want to know, is there a time in your run that you can take us through? Maybe it was the mountains to beach run, maybe it was a different run, but is there a time that you could take us there visually that maybe you were struggling and you pushed through? Like, is there a specific time that stands out in your mind? Is there a race that you can remember that was super challenging, and then for whatever reason that you were able to find a way to break through and finish to how you wanted to?
Yeah, most definitely. That would have to be mountains to beach, hands down. Not because I finished second, but because I found myself back in about seventh or eighth place coming through mile 7. And I was caught up between trying to put back, but not trying to run too fast. I knew I had to stay right around 6:05 pace. And unfortunately, they were running much faster than that. So no one ever really wants to run alone, but I was had to let him go, run alone, run my race, and, you know, hope for the best in the end. Remember mile 13, slowly but surely moving up. I was probably fifth place or so, just slowly trying to reel everybody in. Climbing up, you know, up the rolling hills is just really, really grueling for me. I've never been a fan of hills. And then right around mile 18, one of the photographers out in the course taking the pictures yelling at me, "Hey, you got a chance to catch the guy in second place. He's only 90 seconds ahead of you. You can catch those kids." Like, oh boy, I've been trying to catch these kids this whole race. But yeah, I was like, wow, it's hard to believe that they were only 90 seconds ahead of me because I really couldn't see anybody at that point. And then one of the members from my team that was out there cheering me on ran out there, ran next to me, was cheering me. He goes, "Come on, man, we got this. Let's go. And he helped bring me from seventh to second at that point. And we had a big cheer section at mile 20, and they were all just cheering and just got my blood pumping and adrenaline was going, and they were able to try and bring it on home. But it was hard because at that point I'm running all alone. You know, I'm on the bike path and I'm going and there's really no one around. And it's so hard to push yourself when you're out there by yourself. And I figured that after going by them at mile 20, there was no way they were just going to let me just go without a fight. So that was playing in my mind. And I remember coming through the last half a mile or so and everybody's cheering and you're going. It's like, just don't cramp up. Just don't cramp up at the finish line. And then when I saw 2:38 on the clock, I was like, "Oh my God, I'm gonna do it! I'm gonna go under 2:40," and it was such an amazing feeling to cross that line. And I shed a few tears of joy, and yes, it was a great, great feeling to do that.
Wow, you guys always get me choked up during these interviews. Wow, that's special. Thanks for sharing that with us. Yeah. So take me through this again. So you're at mile 20. You got some of the club members there cheering you on, and then you're going through a long stretch by yourself. What's going through your mind?
I knew we had a hill coming up that was probably going to be about a mile and a half long, and I was like, that might be the point where I might fall apart and the rest of the pack's going to just catch me and go by me. And I just kept surging as fast as I can to make them get tired, hopefully that they wouldn't pass me up going up this hill. And I just kept grinding and grinding. I could see other runners from the half marathon that was still on course cheering me on like, "Oh my God, it goes a number two marathon runner. You got this. You can go. You can go." And they were like, "By the way, there's somebody right behind you." Huh. And I'm like, "Oh boy." Yeah. So, you know, didn't want to look back and show any signs of weakness, because usually looking back means you're tired. So I didn't want to fuel the runner behind me. So I was just like, I got to take their word for it and really just kind of push to the end. But it had to be the longest 6 miles of my life.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So
yeah.
You were pushing through, and then does it help when they like kind of give you information? Like, it sounds like it helped when the cameraman told you that you could go catch that guy.
Oh yeah, most definitely. I was even timing it, you know. But yeah, it was amazing that someone that you didn't expect to even cheer you on I was like, wow, he's rooting for me, you know. So it was such a, you know, a pleasant surprise.
That's pretty cool.
That's late in the race, yes.
And then, so did you go back and thank them, or is it just you just kind of carry on and you appreciate those things for yourself?
Oh yeah, no, I kind of like, I wasn't going to go back to mile 18 and look for the guy, but yeah, I was pretty beat up after crossing the finish line. I had a big blister, you know, on my foot, and yeah, I was just happy to finish that, and couldn't wait to get back to the room and shower up.
What is it like after you finish that line, and you said you shed a few tears and you feel like that joyous accomplishment? How does it feel afterwards? Like, when does it hit your body and you're like, "Oh my gosh, I just shredded my body"? How long does it take for you to be like, "Oh my," you know, when does the pain set in, I suppose, what I'm getting at?
Oh, as soon as you stop pushing, I cross the line and you exhale and they give you a medal, and it's just like, "Oh God, this hurts," you know. But you know, the tears started coming down, and it was just like, it was well worth it. All this pain and pressing through and training and the time that you put into your training, it all paid off. It was just such a huge accomplishment for myself within me.
So what's next for you? Do you have any goals that you're working towards now, or is there anything that you... any plans you have for the near future?
Yeah, I got the Ventura Half Marathon coming up at the end of October of this year. I hope to run under 1:13. My personal best right now is actually 1:16, so that's kind of a big jump, but I'm hoping to do well there. I'm going to fly to New York November 3rd, and I'm going to run in the New York Marathon there. That one will be a fun run. I'm going to enjoy that one. December 7th, I'll be doing a 50-miler up in the Malibu Canyon. So it'll be my first 50-miler, so I'm kind of nervous and excited at the same time for that one.
Are you doing that by yourself, or when you decide to do these things you haven't done before, do you sign up with some friends, or how does that work? You doing it by yourself?
Yeah, I got some friends that are doing it. They actually signed up first, and I was joking around and saying, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to sign up. I'm going to show you guys how it's done. And basically, they just challenged me to just do it. And I was like, okay, I'll see if I can get on, try to get on the waiting list, and I'll be darned if I didn't get picked to get entered in. And I was like, okay.
You're hoping you didn't get picked?
Exactly. Yeah, I didn't want to get picked.
That's awesome. And I imagine there's a handful of people that wish they got picked and they didn't get picked.
Yeah, so, oh well. So it'll be fun, I hope. 50 miles is a long ways.
That is a long ways.
Yeah.
All right, Rick, before we wrap things up here, is there anything we missed or anything that you wanted to mention here in the show?
No, that's pretty much it. I mean, basically, you know, what advice I can pass to someone else is when you're out there and you're having trouble getting out the door or struggling to hit a workout or something, just ask yourself, you're as good as you want to be. So if you want to be really good, you're going to get out that door and you're going to go do that workout, or you're going to give it your best shot, or you're going to do that extra interval, whatever it may be.
Yeah, that's great advice. I think that sometimes all you got to do is take that first step to make it happen. And as challenging as it is, if you can take that step, you can make all the difference in your workout, in your day, in your life, without question. That's going to wrap things up for this edition of Transformations Through Running. Thank you so much for being here with us today. Thank you for sharing your time with us and sticking around till the end. I love that story of how Rick is able to find support within a group. It's the coaching, it's the energy, it's the time and work put in. And I think it's super cool that Rick's actually able to get better and faster as he's getting older as well, which is pretty cool in its own rights. We'd love to connect on social media on your favorite platform. A couple of the ones that we're on a regular basis is facebook.com/trueformlife. We're also on Instagram, posting on stories. We're putting out posts daily to keep you updated and inspired and motivated, to help you stay on track and help you live a healthy lifestyle, along with giving you news about these shows on who's coming up next and some of the past interviews as well. That's Instagram.com/DrewTadia. We'd love a shout out or send us a message and let us know if you've been enjoying the show. One last time, our monthly membership includes recipes, meal plans, a grocery shopping list. It really takes all the work out of it in this regard to help you get better, nutritionize your body properly, putting the proper nutrients in your body to help you perform better on the track or on the field or wherever you may be running that particular weekend. And then, of course, we have at-home workouts as well. So no gym required. We use the body as the machine, so you don't even need equipment. We'll show you how to use functional movements to help you get better at your sport, which includes improved running time, recovery time. These workouts will boost your athletic ability in many different ways. Once again, more details are at trueformlife.com. Thanks again for being here with us. Catch you on the next show.